conversation on fire. Everybody knows it's true.
It really is.
You said it's the best one in 10 years.
It's a spectacular one. And it's, if you got a decent day, it's foggy up there all the time. Everything to do in the, well, it's July. It's late spring.
April's and May is a pretty good time in California. Sometimes it's more foggy in July in San Francisco. There is a certain pattern in San Francisco that's quite different from Southern California, if I recall.
Well, we talked about, you know, maybe being out there in that Easter period to miss the gridiron and a few other things. And,
I have not dug in concrete on the goddamn gridiron. But you do anything during the election year, or put it this way, you don't want to do anything that's going to be racial effect or being in this favor or that thing. If you deal with what I'm doing, I don't ourselves for this goddamn horseshit on good.
I don't think you ought to go, and the argument that the only argument anybody else makes that you should is because of vote. Nobody's arguing you should have it because of the gridiron.
That isn't enough reason.
Now sure, the problem you get is from some of your buddies, you know, the Don Kendalls and the Hogue Lewises of the world and the B.B. Rebozas who like that sort of stuff will say, you know, gee, you ought to be there.
They've never done something good before.
No, you aren't going to talk.
Never forget when we did the piano duet.
You aren't going to talk.
There's an iron history. We got not a pissing thing for it.
And you aren't, there's no way you can top that. I mean, you couldn't try to, really. You'd have to go in and pretty much do a straight, if you did it, what you ought to do, I would think, is a very serious straight thing. I mean, just go completely the other way. Whether this is a great country and that kind of stuff.
They don't like that.
Oh, they will.
Well, let's wait until after we get back from China and feel it out then. The Easter period will be looked at. It's time for me really to see Graham just tomorrow after the breakfast. And he might say that he'd like to come over. But you come in with him so we can talk a little politics.
Okay, good.
Ask him if he'd like to come over afterwards.
Okay. One other thing tomorrow morning, which might be an easy way out of this. You've done nothing except a phone call to the Apollo 15 crew. They're arriving in Washington at 5:30 tomorrow morning after their tour of communist countries. They've been to Yugoslavia and Poland. And
which one is this?
This is the...
Didn't I do that again?
Scott Irwin and Worden.
They've been there.
They've been to the moon. Back there the last bunch. You called them after they got back.
Pretty friendly.
And congratulations. Yeah. And the thing is, they've made this goodwill tour of Eastern Europe. They're here. They would normally just stop for a couple hours and then go on down to Houston. We could have them stay long enough to come in and see you tomorrow morning, which would give you the thing with them without getting into spending the night at
the hotel. I don't think we should do the dinner this time for them, if you agree. But let's give them a camp.
They should probably promise them a dinner.
Think we promise them? Let's just say that because of China, I can't do it later. No, I can't do it right now. But we would like, while I'm in China, for them to go to Camp David with their families for the weekend. Let's give their families the weekend to Camp David this time. How about that? I just don't want to go through the goddamn dinner in the White House again.
Well, unless
we just promise. Henry, I have an idea that you may be completely out of the question, but I wanted to get rid of my idea. That's what might take you from something else.
No,
this is nothing.
No.
Yeah,
Harry's voice was in
carries over to the lead editorial page, and they did on this one, and they said, we've been opposed to this war and what everybody's done about it up until now. And they said, by God, Nixon's finally done the right thing.
Unbelievable.
Well, Dan, we have done the right thing.
They're kind of, you know, it's just...
What more can you offer?
Kind of, they piss on little bits and pieces here and there and all that, but they say that this is finally a step.
They are. We're killing them. Today they published their 9 points.
Yeah.
And they're slight variations from what they gave us. The variations are, they don't change the substance, but they are variations so that it doesn't look anymore as if we had taken verbatim some of their formulations. So tomorrow I'm going to get Ziegler to release the 9 points they gave us and just say very coldly, there are no major differences. The only reason we are releasing it is so that you can see that we picked up their verbatim formulation. We've got them totally on the defensive. And again, they didn't reject it at the press conference today.
The thing I was going to ask you, I remember meeting Andre Malraux.
Yeah.
And you remember, I don't remember the conversation, maybe you do. Remember, I told you afterwards, what did he talk about?
I don't think I was present.
Well, you were, yes, we talked, I remember afterwards I told you about, you know, naturally I was so impressed by him, but he doesn't know he's got a facial. But, I don't know what you agree, but he is a genius.
Oh.
And I read the first, among others, I also read the beginning of his anti-memoirs, which of course is, I just wish I could read it in French, because I can see it's losing a hell of a lot of translation. All these marvelous French phrases I remember from having studied it. You probably read it in French.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was wondering, is he still in favor? Or is he out?
Oh, no, he can.
You think he can come over and have a talk with me before we go to China?
I think it's an interesting idea.
He's a brilliant man. He knows Zhou Enlai and Mao Zedong. It would tie in and Pompidou would feel.
Well, the way to do it is to call Lucey and say you would like to do that. But you don't want to do it if it offends anybody.
Yeah.
Could he arrange, could, you know.
Yeah, the president has read his book and would like to.
I think also it's a good public relations move.
Well, I thought so. And you were thinking about getting into the report China scholars.
Yeah.
You have to take them carefully, of course.
They are a goddamn dry well, you know, it may be good PR.
Then don't let's do my role. Screw the China scholars here.
I've gone through the bloody China scholars, but it may not be it may not be bad. For now,
they're a dry well. It's a dry well, but I really believe Malraux would contribute to my thinking. I really do.
Malraux would,
because he's brilliant, he knows men, he knows what they think, what makes them tick, he probably knows me. You see my point?
Yeah.
And I think our just sitting and being exposed to a genius for an hour would be very useful. Or you don't agree?
I agree. What I'm thinking is, if we're realistic, Mr. President, if you invite him, you've got to give a dinner for him. He's a very distinguished man. Or a lunch.
No, the hell with lunch, but I give him a small dinner.
Why don't you have a dinner that's just your China group?
Have you?
Well, then we have Bill.
You,
Bill, Lyles,
Marshall Green. No women.
That'd be fine.
And I invite Lucey.
You have to invite Lucey.
Just a small.
Yeah.
Just small. At 7 o'clock black tie. That we see him in advance.
Yeah.
And sit and talk with him, and afterwards let him. Because you and he and I alone.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Because after all, isn't he a renowned scholar?
Oh, he's one of the great men. Oh, yes.
Did you know an interesting thing about it? Is I read about it in his grandfather at the funeral and everything beginning. And his grandfather said it was probably an anti-Semite. But his grandfather, because the Jews in this little town in Holler and Alsace and the rest, they were kicked out of their synagogue. But his grandfather, by God, gave them a place for their meetings.
When are you
raised the point, I was going to talk to you about it, that,
and because it would come up with the president anyway, that he wants to be involved in that. And he also thinks that for appearance's sake, the president should meet with the group just for a few minutes so that it's, you know, the point made that we're all going to China together kind of stuff.
At this point, all we are doing is doing the papers. When the papers are all done, I mean, that's absolutely...
He said he was going to talk to you about...
I'll tell you what I'd like to do.
As soon as there are papers here, guys, or as soon as their papers are finished, I will read them, and then get them in and thank them for the papers.
That would be...
The hell they want to... Is there anything else that you'd like to say about us? How's that sound?
All the theories, never any
certain. That's right.
They've made zero contribution to substance. We've yet to see their first paper.
Okay, but
I have no objection, Mr. President, but at this stage, it would be a total waste of your time. They have yet to produce one.
Well, I'm not going to see them at this stage. I'm going to make them think it through first.
After the books are completed...
I could do it. The week we leave, in other words, I'd like to do it Monday so that I'm not bothered with it till then.
As for his involvement, that's entirely up to
him. I can come any time. But I can't sit, I'm not going to sit with these people until they have thought about it. Would you agree?
We haven't got any, we have yet to get one paper from them.
I haven't produced much out of it.
I mean, there's nothing to discuss yet. The only books that exist are the ones we've done, and he doesn't know about those. Because we want to pretend that it's all his work, so we, I mean, I've got a set of books ready for you.
And for him.
For him, too, yeah. Now, the one thing he's asking for, which I haven't given him, is a verbatim text of the meeting. That's too dangerous. I've given him edited copies, which he thinks is the total of all your meetings.
That's enough.
I mean, it's about 50 pages. In the specific change you've set up, we have yet to get a memo, or at least on the daily stuff. Well, I've sent him Soviet, I've now sent him a watered-down version of Dobrynin, I've sent him all a set of mem cons of the North, of my meetings with the North Vietnamese. I've cleaned them up. I've sent him all our proposals. The trouble is, I bet they'll start leaking out of there.
How did they go to him? Is he putting them out now?
No, he won't leak. If he doesn't give them to his subordinates, we're all out. He does not leak. That's one thing that we don't
learn to know. What does he want to do? If he wants me to start sitting in these meetings with these people, I must do that, Bob. I must waste my time.
No, he wanted to be in the meeting so that, you know, everybody's working together. And he thought you ought to spend a few minutes.
I will, Dan.
He was already at this meeting tomorrow, or this first meeting, just to show it's a combined effort, everybody. And you just
said, it isn't the first meeting.
I mean, all of you to get this put together and all that. I think he needs to.
Let me put it this way, Henry. As far as I'm concerned, I don't mind going in and say, look, I want you to do all these papers and so forth, or what do you want, or do you think we should wait till the end, or what?
But
either way,
I'll do whatever. It's such a revolting thing. Anything he wants. I mean, they haven't done a goddamn thing. We've yet to see what
he says. You know, that they've been putting all these things together, doing a lot of background work.
So they've not sent it to us. There was supposed to be a meeting today, which he canceled on the ground that they were reviewing the papers.
Let me suggest that he canceled it. Probably that's, yeah. That's
all right.
That.
All right.
Bob, here's what you tell him. Here's what you tell him. Look, he knows me very well. And I abhor bull sessions. I despise them. I will not participate in them because I'm too busy. That I learn from the written word, and then, based on the written word, I can ask intelligent questions. That as soon as the papers are in, and I want them to kick them in the ass and get their papers over here, then, at the conclusion I'm studying now, at the conclusion of that, I'd like to meet with the group.
I'm for that.
How's that sound to you?
I'm for that.
Doesn't that make sense? Or can you sit there? Don't you think so, Bob?
Yeah,
he knows that's the way I work.
But they
to get the papers over here.
I think it's better for him not to get it.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
he wrote me a letter during the Anderson episode saying that we should remember that the whole editorial staff there and the whole newspaper directors hate us for our Vietnam politics at that time, and hate us for our success. We should never forget that. So I dropped him a note telling him how much I appreciated that, and if he had a chance, whenever he was down, he could drop in. So he came in today and he said, we have no idea
what
is comfortable. We have no idea that it's comfortable. We are in, that we put these people in. And last week on the op-ed page, they had only critical articles about us on the op-ed page, not on the editorial page. So he went to Harrison Salisbury and he said, why don't you let me write an article to prove that there's a respectable other point of view? Harrison Salisbury said, we have no interest in making this a battle page. Imagine that an op-ed.
That's the whole point of it.
That's the whole point of the op-ed page.
That was the reason they put it on, is to get the opposing deal.
Well, I understand, though, but we have got them in disarray at the moment.
Total, he said. He says they don't know what to do.
About the peace thing.
About Vietnam. And every revelation makes it worse. Now, every document the North Vietnamese, for example, released our October 11th plan today. They themselves said it's substantially the same as your plan this week, which is what you had in your speech. Secondly, in its first point, it had that complicated thing which offered withdrawals for prisoners before anything else was implemented. So
that point is made. Will it be made?
Yeah, well, we made it already in the press conference, but now I can illustrate it. Yeah. Because now I have the text, which we didn't have before. Then they put out our notes asking for a meeting. In those notes, we said we're willing to consider your point of view, too. So, and they put out a slightly different version of the 9 points from our version, from the version they handed us. And they handed us an English version. And the only point of it can be to deprive us of the possibility of saying that we picked up their language, so we'll hit them again tomorrow. We'll get Ziegler.
What will he do?
Well, or maybe I'll step in for 5 minutes and I'll say, gentlemen, we're handing out the 9-point proposal they gave us yesterday. They gave us on June 26th.
They gave it to us?
They gave it to us on June 26th. The version that was published yesterday is slightly different. In substance, it's the same. The only reason we're putting our version, the version they gave us out, is so that you can compare yourself that our proposal actually picks up the language of the 9 points which we had in our possession at Walkout.
Sure.
See, it's very conciliatory.
I do think that you also might. Point out that you might make the two-phase point, even though you made it previously. You will note that in our October 11th proposal that we offered as a first phase an immediate
beginning of withdrawal
of the prisoner.
Even while the other stuff
while we were still negotiating the ceasefire, you will note we have done that, gentlemen. And put that point, and then make those 2 points only, and then walk out. So that they have to say that
you don't want to get crosswise with Mansfield.
But the liberals are in one hell of a spot now.
Why are we in crosswise with Mansfield?
Well, Mansfield's saying now that it's an admirable proposal and all that, but he regrets that you didn't separate the military and the political.
For Christ's sakes, that was our first proposal, I know.
Yeah, but this doesn't get us crosswise, it's just...
No, it clears up the point. Needs to be, and they're going to do that anyway. But they don't want to do it. I suggest maybe we ought to take Mansfield on that, and then realize, obviously, we can't, because we got a little support for him. We've got to maintain that as far as we can.
Well, you should say that without the... the third point, in addition to the 9 point, and the fact that the first point of the October 11th proposal does say in two phases we'll move immediately, you will know it does this and that. The third point, let me emphasize again, we have offered to negotiate the military separately,
mean, they're making desperate points now. Yesterday, the New York Times, Terrence Smith, had an article saying that the proposal for 6 months withdrawal is the same that Johnson made at Manila. I'm going to get Frankel to pull back from that, because what Johnson proposed at Manila is that we start withdrawing 6 months after the North Vietnamese had withdrawn and that the violence had subsided. We are proposing that we would withdraw within 6 months, no matter what the North Vietnamese do. In other words, exactly the reverse.
Well, Johnson's mutual withdrawal, basically.
No, Johnson was
prior withdrawal by four North Vietnam.
Do you remember,
why the hell is Terrence Smith right that he knows?
Do you remember, Mr. President, the second night you were in office, you went to the Ford Theater, and I came to to the residence. Within the first week, you went to a theater, and I came to the residence to go over a telegram with you, in which I had recommended that we change the Manila formula, which was first the North Vietnamese withdraw, and then we follow, to simultaneous mutual withdrawal.
That's right.
And Bill, and you authorized it. You told me to back channel Lodge that he should recommend it. That's when we started our maneuvers.
Mutual withdrawal, I remember. Yeah.
Bill Bundy, when I said we have to have simultaneous mutual withdrawal, said this would disintegrate our relations with Australia and everybody else. So within 3 days, you changed the Manila formula of being in office.
Well, I can think that Frankel ought to really clean up the Terrence Smith one. Good God.
Oh, yes. But it's good for us if they make egregious errors from which they have to pull back.
You think he will pull back?
Oh, yeah. They have no choice. It's an egregious, total misstatement. I mean, this is not debatable.
Yeah, but I know it was, I think, necessary for them to pull back. Yeah, maybe it does. The time is simply
changed. Well, I told Bob today, Stuart Alsop is in. And
oh, you saw him?
Oh, he is singing your praises. He said it's a disgrace that you should be saving the WASP establishment from itself, that you are the only one who is standing for the honor of this country, while the Democrats are standing for immorality, defeatism, surrender. He's practically foaming at the mouth. He went up
Bill
to
Bill Bundy, that's when he says that. He usually sits down and writes it.
No, he's going to write
he
it.
He not only sits down and writes it, but also Bobby says it at the parties. Yeah.
Well, he called Kay Graham called me Saturday morning and said, if you have any complaints about my editorial, why don't you tell me? Well, don't tell Stu Alsop. Apparently Alsop had called her and said, you're a traitor.
She is.
Well, they pulled way back. I don't know whether you saw the story yesterday.
Well, coming back to Frankel, as you know, he's on the list for China. Son of a bitch, you better, don't tell him he's on it yet, but you damn well better start playing around and doing something that's right. Frankel ought to clean that up. That's just dead wrong. What will you do? Call him and say?
I'll call him, I'll say, Max. I'll just say it's like saying an elephant and a fly are the same animal because they both have legs.
Because the Johnson proposal was the first that our Vietnamese have withdrawn.
6 months after the North Vietnamese have withdrawn and the Manila formula
was the violence.
The United States will withdraw 6 months after the North Vietnamese have withdrawn and the level of violence has subsided. Until the Manila formula, we proposed that the Viet Cong had to withdraw.
He says for the North Vietnamese to withdraw.
First.
That requires them to get out and have a ceasefire and everything. It's everything.
First, they had to withdraw, and then.
Then.
We start withdrawing. There was no deadline on our withdrawal.
So he missed the point totally.
Oh, well, it's almost so badly missed that it's a misrepresentation.
How do you write this article?
Well, the rest of the article is actually quite good. It says, basically, it said many aspects are not new. For example, the 6 months withdrawal. Other aspects are new. So they are giving us credit. So the one thing he said wasn't new
is new.
So it was not a hostile article. history was basically good, if you think so, perhaps.
You might do the Malraux thing. I was thinking of the week we leave, say on Monday or so.
Either be next Tuesday. Is really the only time you could have a dinner next week.
How about the following Monday? Adjusting to the
following Monday would also be.
I think that's a little better possible.
The 14th.
We're leaving the 16th.
17th.
We'll be leaving the 17th. I think that Malraux is an excellent idea.
Well, it just appeals to me. Look, all these little clowns around here that are China scholars are shit-asses compared to Henry Malraux. Malraux was a brilliant man. They all recognize him as being their superior, don't they?
Okay.
And I think the fact that I thought, well, I've met him in Paris and I want to talk to him also ties attention a bit.
I think it's the French will be flattered beyond description.
Malraux's a name that's known.
I've never read his Voices of Silence. Oh,
it's beautiful.
But we have it in the library. I've dipped in it a couple times. It's hard reading, mainly because you see it's written in another language.
Of course, he's almost incomprehensible when he talks because he comes out in these torrents of.
Yeah, he's a sheer genius. He's now got a twitch and a lot of other things, but that doesn't bother me. I just think that I like to talk to the right people.
Well, I read that piece you had clipped out somewhere along the line on the Long March.
Yeah.
That's an easy reading. It's beautifully written.
Yeah.
Even in English.
He writes like a poet.
Well, he's a great man. And I think this is a superb idea. I don't know whether you know the Russian poet Yevtushenko, who is dying to meet you now. The only reason to see him is cold-blooded PR. I think Bastard is an opportunist. But he's the darling of the...
Bouncing around town. Darling of the white
dove. Well, not of the dove so much, but of the sort of liberals. He's been slightly rebellious against the Soviet system, but they have now co-opted him. It's a pure PR stunt.
Was it for your purpose just to see him and say hello to him?
Well, you'd have to say, he wants to tell you, he's an absolute egomaniac. I know him. The major, what he wants is to promote himself, I have no doubt, and secondly, to pour out his soul to you. And
what is his soul for?
Well, he's a sort of an opportunistic opponent of the Soviet system. He's just opposed enough to get a cachet over here, but they're supporting him.
It wouldn't bother us. Does it bother us if the Russians to see him?
No, Dobrynin. I've checked with Dobrynin. It sort of has a cultural...
Dobrynin would approve of
it. Yeah.
I'll see.
I think it's a sort of a half hour. It's a nice touch.
This week, he's here now. Isn't
he? He's in New York.
Okay, this is a better week than next. It's going to
be done. Not if you give me a
time. It's only a half hour.
Like I said, I don't know where you ended up with your NSC.
Well, you were going to tell me.
Well, I'm trying to find out when your people can come.
Oh, but they're checking. I think we should just schedule it and make it.
Well, you can't just schedule it and make Connolly come if he does.
It's Connolly that we want, so I think Wednesday afternoon sounds like the best time.
I think I was going to see it Wednesday morning, or today.
Morning, fine, but if they have to testify Wednesday afternoon, offer Connolly the option. And we'll have it Wednesday morning at 10. Wednesday afternoon at 3, if I'm sorry.
That's fine. So should we?
Well, Bob, who checks with Connolly? Who does this?
No, my people apparently
have. The first thing is, your office probably does. I don't know.
3 days because it's going on midnight.
Aren't you seeing
the direction? I mean, 3 days ahead of time. It's a sort of a nice ploy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a job there. I must warn you, he's a...
Speak English.
Makes me appear humble.
Speak English.
Yeah, in a sort of a, yeah, in a sort of effusive way.
Just straight dead.
was basically a quite conciliatory press conference. They're pointing out that the secrecy was at our request, not at their request. And they have a hell of a problem explaining why they had secret 9 points and public 7 points.
Well, you never know how our press will play that, of course. But we just have to constantly keep putting the truth out.
We've got them in
I put up tomorrow. But make those 3 points tomorrow. Yeah. And out.
I think we've got
don't
them.
Don't be in a public running debate with them, but make those 3 points and out, John.
And I'll have to take one or two questions and then.
I don't really ask. I don't hurt him either. I see the Brown Farnsley. Let her follow them. You're just going to put out the 9 points. Okay. Yes.